Hey everyone, appreciate you listening to 1088 Podcast. This is Ellis Maxwell, your host, and just want to remind you that this is episode 2, and we're going to keep on keeping on. And you can follow me on social media. If you go to ellismaxwell.com, you can connect with me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and you can also visit my other websites. shieldbalance.com, which is private investigation and training consulting. Anyways, get ready. This is a good one. Thanks for listening, and I promise they're going to get better. Just learning how to do this whole editing thing. Jeez. Anyways, peace out.
Hello, folks. We're here today with a guest that was basically the one that contributed to inspiring me to go get into the wonderful world of police work. He wants to remain anonymous and the agency that he worked for, so obviously we're going to respect that. But is what that means for me is I get to choose a name for him. So the idea that I've came up with is that we're going to recognize and give credit to some old lawmen back in the 1800s, because obviously they're not getting credit. They've never gotten credit other than in the big screens. But so is who I've chose today is John Hicks Adams. He served from 1864 to 1878. He was an American 49er. A sheriff for the Santa Clara, California County Police Department. I don't know, whatever. It just said Santa Clara. And then the U.S. Marshals for the Arizona Territory. Great lawman, served well. And I've got a great lawman today for you all. And so we're going to reference him as John. And John entered into the police world in 1967 and retired in 1993, worked for an agency in northern Utah, served 26 years. And the remarkable thing about John is he has been retired for 26 years. So super awesome. I mean, totally took the whole stigma of police work and shoved it up everybody's ass. Because he's lived 26 years after retirement. His health is remarkable. And he could probably still kick my ass today as he did when I was younger. Right?
Yeah.
So I bring to you John. John is, like I mentioned, he's the one that kind of inspired me to kind of get into police work. I was a young feller. Growing up, I was a child, I would see him come, you know, get off work. He'd be in his uniform. He was a close friend of my dad. They were like best buds. I wouldn't really listen to the stories when he'd share stories with my dad, but I'd hear them. I didn't really quite, you know, I was too young. I couldn't really catch on to what was going on. But I'm thinking that... you know, I learned a lot subconsciously from how he carried himself going through his career. I think I subconsciously picked up on that and implemented it into my life and into my career. 'Cause there's a lot of similar traits that we kind of carried, as far as like what I mentioned in the background. That I posted on the website, you know, you'd go to work, right? And it was a job at the end of the job.
I don't know if we ever even thought of it as a career, just a job.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd get up, put on your outfit, go to work, do what you had to do, and come home, and that was it.
That was it.
You know, you didn't come home and play cops and robbers with the old lady or...
No, she kicked my butt.
So, yeah, so it's super awesome. So, So is what we're going to discuss today is he's chosen an incident that he was involved in. It was in 1978. He was involved in an incident that was kind of got his blood pressure up a little bit. And as police work and some of these incidents do. So we're just gonna kind of chat about that a little bit. And yeah, tell me about that. So you said 1978, Christmas Eve, right?
Christmas Eve, either Christmas Eve or it turned to Christmas Eve during the middle of this thing.
Okay, so you working patrol?
Working patrol. Just driving around, and I observed a pickup that looked like it was one that had been reported stolen. So I got a little closer, and the plates matched. And so as soon as I turned the overhead lights on, everything kind of went to shit, and off we went into chase. And about a quarter mile down the street, I thought I'd got hit broadside by a car. There was so much noise in the car, and I finally discovered the hole in the windshield that would indicate I probably got shot at. And then the dust from the headrest was kind of heavy in the car there, and I kind of figured that out finally. And kept on going west, and other officers got involved with it. We chased the vehicle at a distance because he kept shooting at everybody that got within about 100 yards of him. Mm. And we found out later what he was doing is he'd opened the back window of the pickup, and he was turned around with his back against the dash, shooting with a rifle.
A rifle?
A rifle, 25-06.
So like when you say the back window of pickup, like the slider?
Like the slider, yeah.
So this isn't an extended cab, this is a regular cab pickup?
Right, right, and he just had his back against the dash.
How fast are you guys going in this pursuit?
Oh, we're not really all that fast, maybe 50, 60, 70 miles an hour.
And this knucklehead is fucking turned around with a rifle out the back window shooting at you?
Yeah. The other guy's driving.
Oh, okay. There's so he's a passenger.
Yeah, he's a passenger, and he's turned around shooting at us. Okay. And I actually took two rounds, one through the windshield and one in the battery.
So let's back up here a little bit. So you're working patrol, you're a patrolman, working graveyards?
Yes.
And so was a report come out that there's a stolen vehicle, or you were just kind of cruising, ran the plate, came back as stolen?
Well, I had saw, before I went out on the road that night, I'd saw that we'd had a stolen pickup in town.
Okay, okay.
And then I just happened to see that, what I thought to be that pickup, and checked the plate, and yeah, that was the right one.
So there in 78... you run this, you verify it's stolen, it's occupied two times, right?
Right.
Did you light it up right then and there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It didn't do any good, though. They kept going.
Okay, so for you folks, is what that means is lighting it up, is, you know, turn on lights and signs, try to pull them over. So you light them up, and that's when they take off and they started shooting, huh?
Immediately took off, uh-huh. Yeah.
So that first round, that some bitch, that's one that hit your windshield, or do you think that
first
what was your first thought? Did you see the muzzle at all, or
there was so much noise and such a bang of that round going through the car, I thought I'd been hit broadside by a car. And I looked over, and there's no car there, so then I started looking to see what it was, and it was a hole in the windshield, and then I knew what had happened. Round went through the windshield and out the back window, and of course the back window just fell out from the, because it's safety glass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What, passenger side of the?
Passenger side.
Wow.
Took part of the headrest off.
Wow.
And
how soon did you take a second round?
It was right shortly there, but it didn't do anything. You know, as long as the car was running, even though the battery was blowed up, it still ran.
Mm-hmm.
And it ran until we turned it off. And
wow.
And I at the time, I wasn't aware that I'd been hit with a second round.
Oh, okay. So what are your thoughts? So now you've got this round that come through the window. You're still chasing these guys. Obviously, we're cops. We're not going to just pull over and give up. We're still after them, right?
Right.
Didn't you find that fascinating to be able to cruise down the freeway with one hand maybe on the steering wheel, another hand on the mic, taking rounds, doing 50, 60 miles an hour? I mean, we're some smart motherfuckers. I mean, yeah. we can multitask, right? And not get in a crash.
And not get in a crash.
And take bad guys.
And chase bad guys, yeah. Yeah, trying to get all the information out we could, and you know, colors of trucks, and
yeah,
and the fact that these guys were shooting at anything and everything that moved that might be a police car. Another officer fell in ahead of me, and he immediately took two rounds, another one through the windshield and another one through the battery. And it looked to me as if this first round through the windshield was probably a warning round, and the one through the battery was over on the other side purposely looking to kill somebody.
Hmm.
Gotcha. As we looked at the car later, you know, the cars later.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, a bit of a chase ensued, and a third officer got involved with it, and he didn't stay close enough to them to see where they was going. So we kind of lost the vehicle for a minute or two, and in the meantime, I'd turned off and was going to see if I could get ahead of them, thinking that they would be coming back towards the main part of the city. And they fooled me. They went west. And after that, they ditched the truck and stole another one at a house that was unoccupied.
Mm.
And at that time, one of the county guys had seen the truck. He pulled up, and as soon as he turned the car to where he could see what was there and light it up with the headlights,
mm-hmm.
Both these guys started shooting at him then. One of them with a rifle, and the other one with a sawed-off shotgun and a pistol, running at him. With a sawed-off shotgun and a pistol and running at him. Shooting with both hands.
Wow.
And he emptied his shotgun. We believe later he had actually, one pellet of the shotgun had hit this guy in the leg.
Huh.
And Jack emptied his shotgun, and all but one round in his pistol, even with the reloads. We carried 18 rounds total. And so he fired 17 rounds at these two guys.
Hmm.
And then his friend who was riding with him, one of the bullets that was being fired at the police car hit the door frame and fragmented, and a piece of it went into his friend's chest. So with that, he grabbed his friend, threw him in the car, and got the hell out of there, because he didn't know how bad his friend was hit.
Mm-hmm.
He was a civilian. He wasn't an officer. But anyway, the time we got a perimeter set up there, they had got out of there.
The bad guys gotten out of the perimeter?
They had got out. Yeah, they had just left the perimeter before we could get it set up.
Mm-hmm.
And then We went down the ditch there and went through the house, and nobody there. And then we realized there was the truck was missing, another truck.
Mm-hmm.
And about maybe 20 minutes later, he had a call that there had been a home invasion robbery type thing probably 5 miles away. They'd taken a family hostage and stole their weapons and their car. And they escaped that night and went from there. It went into another city there, and they had another family hostage. And I don't know a whole bunch about that. That's exactly what happened, other than hearsay type stuff.
Right, right.
But it was pretty intense. These guys fired a lot of rounds. But anything that looked like it was a police officer. In fact, I heard at one point that they had him lit up with a chopper, and they shot the spotlight out of the chopper with one of the rifles.
Wow. So eventually these guys got caught, right? Or not?
It's what?
Eventually they got caught.
Eventually, yeah, it took the second day we caught the one, Purnell, and Bruton, he got away from us, stole another vehicle and ended up, as I remember, Idaho Falls, where they found that pickup, and stole another vehicle there, and eventually ended up back in Kansas City, Missouri, where he was from.
Mm.
Both these guys had federal warrants for him at the time.
Okay.
And we found out that the initial intent for stealing this truck, at the time there was some above ground fuel tanks right in the middle of town, and their idea was they was going to hook a chain to one of these pipes that come out of the fuel tanks.
Mm-hmm.
They was going to see if they could break that loose and dump fuel all over, and then if they was able to do that, then they was going to set that on fire. While we were all busy, there was two grocery stores that was open 24 hours, and they was going to do an armed robbery and take the time to get all the money out of the safe and everything on them two grocery stores while we were all busy moving people, keep them burning.
Got it. Okay. Wow.
So they was nice gentlemen.
Jesus. So Purnell, he ended up in Salt Lake County Jail, right?
Purnell ended up in Salt Lake County Jail. Well, he went to prison. He pled guilty in Weber County to everything we charged him with.
Mm-hmm.
And Davis County had a bunch of charges, but he wouldn't plead to them. So they just went ahead and sentenced him on the Weber County incidents.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard once that he had been paroled and then violated, and he went back to prison.
He was paroled after he... Was he charged with attempted murder?
Attempted murder, kidnapping...
And he gets paroled.
And he got paroled after about probably 10 years.
Wow.
10, 15 years.
So our justice system has been what it is.
Yeah.
It's never changed. It's been the same.
Yeah, it's about the same.
It's just really good.
And anyway, at that point, I know he was paroled once, maybe even twice. But anyway, the federal boys, they filed on him on a parole violation.
Good.
And then when he was told he was going back to Fort Leavenworth, I guess he hung himself in the Salt Lake County Jail.
Hmm.
So that one, we know where he went.
Yeah, yeah. Saved taxpayers some dollars.
Yeah, and then the other one, he was later captured down in Kansas City, Missouri area.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing when he approached him down there, was he come out of a trailer shooting with both hands again.
Mm.
And the FBI hit him in the leg and put him down. But I was told just recently that, I didn't know this, but I was told that he actually died of gangrene from possibly one of the rounds that the deputy put in him here in Ogden.
Oh, wow.
Area.
Yeah. Wow.
So he was, I think they're both dead.
Yeah.
Wow. Which is okay.
Yeah, that's all right. Did any, you mentioned the civilian got a little scrap metal in the chest that was in a ride-along. Any cops get hurt? Any cops get hit?
There was a couple in Davis County, actually. You know, this was the next day. One of them, they fired a round at him, and it went through the nose of the car, through the main wire harness,
mm-hmm.
and through the part of the steering wheel, and it stuck in his chest.
Oh, wow.
But just under the skin, they would just mm-hmm. pull it out.
Yeah.
And another one got scuffed up with some flying glass from another round.
That's it. Very fortunate.
Very
These
fortunate.
Guys didn't take out any of the lawmen that were chasing them down. That's crazy. Wow. God. I mean, in my career, I never ended up in a situation where I was shot at. I investigated quite a few cases of officer-involved shootings and assaults and attempted murder cases on cops, but I can't even fathom. After this is all done that night and you're finished with your shift, I mean, at what point did you sit down and went, God damn. Like, that was close, right?
It was so involved and so much going on, and we still hadn't caught these guys. I went home a little later in the morning and had a nap. And
was that like a two-hour nap?
Yeah, I did.
If that.
Just a little nap. But, I don't know as I focused on that. It was
right.
Like it was done.
Yeah,
I didn't get hit.
Yeah,
and the guy that had the fragmented round hit him in the chest. He had it went into his heart, and they did have to open him up a little bit and get that piece out of his heart.
Yeah,
but other than that, there was none of us, was seriously injured, and really no citizen was seriously injured.
Yeah,
in this whole thing.
That's good.
Which could have been. Much, much worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it could have been a travesty. I mean,
because they had no regard for nobody or nothing.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, that's that's pretty crazy. Damn. Yeah. Yeah, so now if I remember correctly, you were supposed to have a ride along that evening.
Yeah, your dad was thinking about riding with me that night, but then he had to do something, and so he said he wasn't going to come with me. And I was quite happy he didn't.
Yeah.
Because it very possibly could have took his head off instead of the headrest.
Yeah. When did you share that? How soon did you share that story with him?
Oh, the next day or the following day.
Yeah.
I think he kind of turned a little bit white.
I bet.
I don't think he ever rode with me again.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, I think that'd probably be like, yeah, I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think I'm good. I don't need to do that no more.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. All right. Wow. That's nuts. Yeah, I can't even imagine. It's crazy out there. I mean, some of these people, man, they just do not have, it's just complete disregard. And, for human life and, you mentioned they had federal warrants, I mean, they're obviously doing home invasions and kidnapping and stealing cars and stealing weapons and wanting to do robberies. I mean, what was the motive behind all that? Were they wrapped up in drugs? Were they? Did you, guys ever find out a backstory on that?
I never did find out a backstory on it. One of them had been out for just a short time. I think he was on a parole type thing.
Yeah.
And as I remember, the other one was let out as an accident out of prison. And of course, as soon as he was out the door, he knew they was going to find out it was he was gone. And then, so that's when they split and came out here. And complete sociopaths, that's all there is to it. You know, they didn't care about anybody or anything. And there was a rumor that the one that went back to Kansas City killed the other ones, being Pinnell, who was here in jail, killed his ex-girlfriend and her new boyfriend for whatever reason, I don't know.
Yeah. So you guys are armed. This guy's armed with a 25-06, basically a hunting rifle. And at that time, our law enforcement's armed with revolvers, right?
Period. And shotguns.
And shotguns. I mean, you can't. I mean, that's hard to compete with a rifle.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be so close with a shotgun in order to cause any damage or put somebody down.
Yeah, you got to be within 100 yards.
So, I mean, that's just, things have changed. I mean, these guys are running around with AR-15s and stuff like that, which, you know, that all kind of stemmed from the bank robbery in L.A., right?
Yeah.
So some good some good changes in law enforcement there, going from increasing our firepower so we can fight back with these guys and keep the community safe. Yeah, that's crazy. You say you don't think about it. You don't. I mean, you needed a couple of days to kind of reflect back. You took you took that incident and bottled that thing right away.
You know, and I guess maybe that was one of the reasons that I was fairly successful at being a police officer. I was able to leave that in the car. When I got out of the car, I left it there. Mm-hmm. And it took some time to be able to accomplish that. But, you know, and either you do that or it really bothers the hell out of you. You know, and another thing I was able to do over a period of time that some officers really got bothered over is I could look at people that was injured and think, okay, that's not my blood, and I didn't cause it. So with that in mind, I'll do what I can to solve the problem, whether it was a traffic accident or a gunshot wound or knife or whatever. I took that approach, and it seemed to work out pretty good for me. Some people it may not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you know, going into this career and all of the negative, right? I mean, there's a sliver of positive things that you are involved in, but a lot of it is negative. I mean, you're dealing with people at their worst, you're seeing the worst, and you can't go in there and you know, take any of it, take any responsibility for it or any of that. You've got to be able to do what you did and be like, hey, this is my job. I need to just handle it at the best of my abilities. And at the end of the day, however way it plays out, and you've got to be done with it.
Yeah.
If you sit and live with it and reflect back on what ifs and, I mean, you're not going to make a 20-year career. It's going to be impossible.
Right. And I think, you know, you need to make those decisions, and sometimes, as a for instance, this officer gets a half or three quarters of a second or maybe a second to make up his mind what he's going to do. And once his mind's made up, he takes that course of action. And a year later, after two or three court hearings, it gets back to the District Court of Appeals. They have two attorneys there, and they've discussed the thing for 3 hours, and all of a sudden, this decision this officer made in a half a second or a second and a half, it was wrong. And usually, even when they rule that way, it's a split decision with the Court of Appeals.
Yeah.
And there's been even some of them that's got to the Supreme Court. Again, this officer having a second and a half to make his mind up what he's going to do, it goes to the Supreme Court of the nation, and a 5-4 or 3-6 or whatever, he was wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, it says to me, some people think he was right. Some people think he was wrong. But he really had a very, very short time to make up his mind what he was going to do.
Right. And I mean, let's be honest. As far as law enforcement, we're faced with those decisions more often than not.
Oh yeah.
And the only I've had this conversation in the past, and me personally, I don't think that there's anybody that can pass judgment, especially on an officer-involved shooting. That there's anybody can pass judgment on whether if it was right or wrong. They were not there in that moment. They weren't seeing what that officer is seeing. They're not hearing what that officer is hearing. They're not feeling what that officer is feeling. And they're not the ones that have to make that decision in, right, you know, 1, 2, 3 seconds. And so me personally, I don't think there's a soul out there that can look at a situation and pass any sort of judgment on an officer-involved shooting. Me personally. Now, I mean, quite honestly, I mean, how many cops go out there and with intent to commit murder? None. Very, very, very few. There's probably a 1%, one of those knuckleheads, managed to get through the academy, right? And, maybe has some sort of bias or some other intention. But 99.9%, no. These guys they're doing the job. Not anybody can do this job.
No. No, so. But, and we've went so far now, it appears to me at least, there's such an emphasis on education, and there's no emphasis on just good old common sense.
Yeah.
And of course, that's really hard to test for common sense without going through a week's evaluation. You can't do that in an employment interview of 2 or 3 minutes or even 20 or 30 minutes.
Right. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back shortly. Okay, we're back.
Okay.
You're right. I mean, we could sit here for hours and hours and talk about that stuff. I mean, we could get into these cameras, right? I mean, I like the cameras, but I hate the cameras because all the cameras do is give everybody else, Monday morning quarterback to look at things. But at the end of the day, they're not there. They're not the ones living it. They're not the ones trying to protect themselves or anything like that, you know?
Well, and you've got such a narrow vision of what the officer's seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got basically 180 degrees, and that camera's got about a 20-degree view. And if it was 180-degree, which they make cameras, you can do that, it would be of no value because it would be so grainy and so spread out.
Yeah. Let's switch topics a little bit, or switch kind of a conversation. Now, you did 26 years. How many years what did you do in your career? Obviously you go to patrol, you worked patrol. How many years were you in patrol?
1986, I think.
Yeah. And then share with me your career from there. So you did 6 years, and then what did you do?
I just made a sergeant, and I was still a sergeant when I left.
Mm-hmm.
I never worked anything but patrol.
So your whole 26 years was in patrol?
Yep.
No other special assignments? No investigations, narcotics?
Nope.
Traffic, canine, none of that?
Nope. I was just pretty much happy where I was at.
Was that your roadmap going in?
I don't think I had a roadmap going in. I was looking for a job.
How old were you when you first were hired on?
24.
Did you have to go get certified through POST before they hired you, or did they hire you before you were POST-certified?
Well, they hired me and then sent me to POST, which was down to Camp Williams.
Yeah.
I think I was the last one that went, the last class that went through Camp Williams, then they moved it up to Weber State.
Okay. Because I know there was, back in the day, years ago, I mean, you could work the road without even being POST-certified until, you know, you could get into a class. But that wasn't the situation for you?
No. No, they hired me and I worked the road for a while, and they sent me to the academy down at Camp Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was the end of that year that they moved. I think there was one class after mine that went through Camp Williams, and then they moved it to Weber State. Is there official POST certification.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. What, if there was one thing that you could share, because, I mean, obviously, we're always going to have law enforcement, right? It's always changing. People are coming in. I don't know what the percentage that doesn't reach retirement. You know, they might do 5 years, 6 years, quit. Who knows? Maybe they get hemmed up with a stupid decision and they get fired and never go back. But for somebody that's going into police work or wants to go into police work as a career and do what now, the state of Utah is 25 years, what's one or two things that you would recommend for them or suggest so they could finish out a 25-year career?
I don't know, so I didn't tell them to get into it anymore. You know, with the way the things are going, and invariably the police are being controlled more and more by the political side of the thing. They don't seem to allow the chief even to make things work. It's all got to be by the politicians. And they, you know, them guys aren't certified police officers, but they're making decisions what the chief has to do. And I don't think it's right, but that's how it is.
No, I'd have to agree with you. I mean, again, it goes back to there's certain people that can do this job. Not everybody can do this job.
Yeah.
And you've got to have the right individual with the right mindset and the right reasons to do this job. And at the end of the day, you're sacrificing yourself, your time with your family, your time with, you know, things you want to do. You've got to work graveyards. You got to work weekends, especially when you're starting out. And, you know, you're out there to protect yourself and to protect the community and put yourself in harm's way. But then we've got these people that don't have those abilities, capabilities, mindset, personality, making these decisions and forcing these chiefs and these agencies to do other ways.
Right.
So.
Well, in the sheriff's office too, you know, it's the same thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm just law enforcement in general.
Law enforcement in general.
Right. Right.
So I don't know as I would tell somebody, you know, this is really a good job anymore. I think it was a good job when I had it. But it just looked like to me it was getting more and more political and politically motivated of everything they was going to be doing.
Yeah.
And I don't, again, you can't check somebody to see if they got any common sense.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the things that will get people through being a police officer safely than anything there is my opinion.
Yeah. What, yeah, and then our wonderful Utah state government takes the 20-year retirement, 50% pension away, and gives them 25 years with 38%. That's a lot of incentive to go out there and put your life on the line and see all the trauma and all the garbage that we see, right? I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah. I mean, they're talking, you know, I think it was last I heard it was up at the Senate. You've got to do 25 years, but they're going to give us the 50% back, which yeah. I think, you know, I mean, it's a step in the right direction, but at the end of the day, I think it's a slap across the face for law enforcement. A lack of respect, a lack of understanding what the job consists of.
Well, I think a lot of, I don't think it's just lack of understanding. You know, in my opinion, a guy over 50 years of age shouldn't be out there on the road.
Right.
And I could even, maybe a lot of guys out there at 40 and 45 shouldn't be on the road.
I wouldn't go back to the road. Hell no. But I'd have to have my readers just so I could see the street signs.
Yeah, well, I know that feeling.
What is, so 26 years, what would you say is probably, what is one of your funniest stories that you could think of that you were a part of in 26 years?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of them, but one of them that just comes to mind is I was sitting just watching traffic one night, and I see an older guy go by me, and he pulls up to the traffic light half a block away, and a motorcycle tips over. I think, what the hell? So I pull down in behind him and turn the lights on so that somebody isn't going to run over him. And I get out and I walk up and I said, he's still on the ground. I have to kind of get the motorcycle off for him to get him up, standing up. I said, what the hell happened? He says, I think I forgot to put my feet down. I says, how much you had to drink? And he says, well, really not very much, but he said, it's obviously it was too much. I got him up and we got the motorcycle off the side of the road, and the guy really hadn't had that much to drink. I think he must have been thinking he was in the car or thinking of something else and just simply forgot to put his feet down. So I gathered him up, dusted him off, and took him home.
That's awesome.
Told him, I don't want you driving, but I don't think you're that intoxicated.
Yeah.
So I took him home, and he was happy.
Oh, that's good. That's awesome. Yeah, that's funny. I can't even imagine me sitting there and just this guy on a bicycle, and he just tips over. I mean, at your first thought, you think, what were you thinking? I mean, did you think maybe medical? Maybe he had a medical problem?
No,
or
I think he was just really, really drunk is what I thought he was.
Yeah, that was your first thought when you saw him just tip over?
Yeah. Oh, what the hell?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Basically, so, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we're all people, we're all humans. We have a job to do, whether if it's you're going to work as a nurse or you're going to go and deliver mail or go work at McDonald's or go be a mechanic or go be a cop. We got a job to do. And so, and we all just got to respect each other for their jobs. And that comes down to the cops, man. They're just doing a job. Here's a lawman that did 26 years, got into the job. Why did you get into the job? I never even asked that.
No, I needed a job.
Needed a job. Okay, so there you go. Needed a job. But the key is this gentleman had the right personality, the right mentality, the right reasons to get into the job, to help people. Like the poor feller that tipped over on his bicycle or on his motorcycle and You know, it's like, he's having a bad day, had a couple of drinks, obviously had something else on his mind. And instead of, you know, hauling him off to jail and being black and white, you gave him a ride home. And that's, you know, that's great. That's what we're there for. That's what police are there for. They're not always there just to write you a ticket and be an asshole. So at the end of the day, man, with this podcast, you know, we're all people. We all have a job to do, and we just got to respect it. I thank you for, you know, your 26 years of service. I thank you for, inspiring me, to get into it. I'll never forget. I remember when I told you that I was getting in, you're like, go get an associate's degree. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go to school. I don't plan on promoting. I don't want to go down that road, and I'm not going to need it. You know, but eventually I went back and I did get my bachelor's, and that was a good thing. No, I appreciate it. I remember when I went through the academy, you gave me, I don't know if you remember, but you gave me a pair of Smith & Wesson handcuffs that you had and a black leather case for it. And so I didn't have to go buy any cuffs when I went through the academy. You remember that? Yeah. Yeah. And I'll never forget, I still have those handcuffs. They're in my shadow box now. It's the only pair of cuffs that are in my shadow box, because the cuffs now that they issue, they're kind of Cracker Jack box. I mean, I don't know. They're nothing like those Smith & Wesson cuffs you gave me. Those things are just solid steel. I'll never forget the very, I went through the academy and going through arrest control techniques using those cuffs. I don't recall ever having a problem. But the very first person that I arrested in Park City, it was a DUI. And I did the whole proper thing, you know, interlace your fingers back behind your head, grabbed hold of his fingers, pulled those handcuffs out, and went to go put them over his wrists. And it was, those cuffs were stiff. They weren't like smooth sailing cuffs. And I went and I didn't slam them hard on his wrist. I just kind of put them on, roll them on, and they didn't go all the way around and click. And I was like, oh, shit. This didn't work out like I thought it was going to. Anyways, I got him cuffed up. But I'll be honest, I used those cuffs throughout my whole career. I had those and I carried two cuff cases. I had one cuff case, but it was a double. And those ones were my back. They would sit back in the cuff case. And the ones in the front were these Peerless. So depending on who you were and your attitude, depending on what pair of cuffs you got. Because those Smith & Wessons, they did not feel well when they got put on. Because you had to literally, like old school, slap those things across that wrist for that other half of that cuff to spin around and go on. But, yeah, it's crazy. But, yeah, thank you. And thanks for sharing the story and talking with us. And do you have anything else to say?
No, I think that about covers everything.
Yeah. Well, don't cover everything. Maybe, for 26 years.
Well, that particular set of circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, right on, man. Well, thank you so much, and hope you folks enjoyed episode 2. And just remember, be safe, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thank you.